We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. We're talking today with USD 378 Riley County Superintendent Cliff Williams and USD 384 Blue Valley Randolph Superintendent Brady Burton. Don't forget, later on in the program, we're also going to talk United Way as they have kicked off their campaign, and we'll be talking with the co-chairs of that event. Moving on, we're going to talk a little bit about a bond issue here in Riley County, and Cliff has more on that.
Yeah, Brandon, we're happy to say that that's moving forward, and believe it or not, you know, November 5th, not very far away. We talked about fall events going so fast, and it's amazing this one's just about here. We just released a website, which is whole goal is just to put more information out there. That's been the theme of the board throughout this process here, to try to educate our patrons as much as possible, and would encourage all our patrons to visit that at usd378bond.org. There's a lot of information in there that range from footprints about what the additions would look like to the financial components of it. There's a video tour where I walk around and kind of show all the different areas that we're trying to address, and as well as a Q&A section there that people can write in there, and we try to get back with that in a timely manner. Speaking about trying to visit with our public, we're happy to announce that we're having an open forum on Monday, October 14th, right before our board meeting. It will be up at the high school cafeteria starting at 6 p.m. And again, the focus is there is going to just be a brief overview and just an opportunity to listen to our patrons and their thoughts and their feedback. So we hope for a great participation in that. In the bond issue, one thing that we have been working quite a bit on is fire protection. The whole goal there is kind of stemmed out of making sure that we can have adequate water up at that facility if we ever have to fight a fire. And we've been going through a variety of ideas, and we've shared that in the last couple shows here. And we think we're nearing the end there, that our solution's probably going to be a big tank out in the back that's about 180,000 gallons. It'll feed two fire hydrants that will kind of divide the building up into sections there, and that they can get enough hose in between. And so we're hoping that that idea is going to work, and we're trying to wrap that up. But it's been kind of a long journey in there, but we're kind of happy to say we had budgeted about 600, 700,000 in that range, and right now we're thinking about 300, 350,000. So that's turning out to be pretty positive. So we still have to go through the process there to make sure that it will be approved by ISO and insurance. But in the end there, we need to make sure that we do have water. That way, A, we can fight a fire, and B, whether we can be insured. So we've had some of those discussions that we could be dropped if we didn't have that ability to fight a fire.
So this is a project that would not exceed $15 million, as I see here.
That's correct. Yeah, there's a lot of varieties to it. We've always labeled it as a maintenance bond, doing a lot of those things like roofs and HVAC and windows and flooring, painting, and some asbestos removal, looking at getting rid of our modular classrooms, which we happen to have three of those, bring them in. In light of last night's storm and the sirens going off, and I know I was rushing into our building there more as a father. We had a couple teams in there, and I was just thinking to myself, wow, this would really be nice if we had a basement to send these kids down into. But our coaches did a great job and had them in a nice, safe spot, and we're glad that nothing did touch down. But a storm shelter would be part of that equation as well.
And so this will be on this year's ballot, is that right?
Correct. It'll be Tuesday, November 5th. We do have October 15th is a key deadline for people to register to vote. October 16th is advance voting begins. And then, of course, the general election on November 5th.
Are you fairly optimistic here that it passes?
Yeah, it seems to really have a good buzz going around our communities. And we hope that we've done a great job of trying to listen and understand what our patrons will support, as well as, you know, meeting the needs of our students and our teachers as they try to continue to evolve and give our kids a competitive edge. But it seems like there's a lot of support out there, a lot of good questions. Again, we're still trying to educate all the public. We've got about close to 3,000 voters, and we hope to see that many show up at the polls.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to that. We'll see what comes of it on November 5th. There's also some other news that's been going on here at the legislative level, and Brady's got some information on that as far as the Board of Regents.
Well, a couple of things, and I might, with Cliff's bond, we We had a bond a couple of years ago, and one thing that I found out after we approved the amount was the county required us to put in some additional fire-type things like you're having to do, and we had to end up running a 4-inch water line, additional water line and hydrants to our area for firefighting, too, and we had thought about a lagoon or tanks or so on, and so I know it's not an easy situation, and it sounds like you were able to get through that and plan your money included in the bond. We didn't know about it after the fact that we're going to have to increase our fire coverage, and so it wasn't part of the additional cost wasn't included in our bond, but luckily we had enough plan to cover it. So
yeah, we're hoping we don't have many of those surprises, but
yeah.
You know, you always have to have a little contingency in there, especially
you do.
When you're remodeling, you never quite know what you're going to get into.
Yep. Well, a couple things that I think our listeners might be interested in, and Cliff can add to it. One of them is qualified admissions. Our Board of Regents sets the standards of what our Kansas high school seniors, when they graduate from high school, what requirements they must meet to be admitted to all our state universities. Emporia, Fort Hays, WSU, Pittsburgh, KU, K-State. Mm-hmm. And one thing last Wednesday they removed the class rank requirement from the criteria to enter a state university and replaced it with a GPA average requirement. And it's different according to the different universities. Like for K-State, you have to have a 3.25 GPA and a 21 on your ACT. And I think one of the other things they did was they dropped the requirement that Kansas high school students take college prep curriculum to be admitted also. To me, I have not read this, but to me, the idea behind this is to allow more high school graduates to be admitted to our state universities. I think they're all suffering from lack of enrollment or lower enrollment. I think this will be K-State's, third, fourth year in a row that their enrollment's dropped. So to me, this is a measure by our Board of Regents and the universities to loosen the standards a little bit for additional kids to be admitted. I don't know what your thoughts are, Cliff, but
I think they'd parallel your thoughts, Brady, there, that, I think they're struggling to get kids to enroll, and I think some of the vocational-type programs have really begun to excel, and there's a lot of kids going down that avenue as well, and so I think they got to continue to be competitive.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention is the State Board of Education is currently meeting and working with our Kansas legislature. I think you'll maybe see a bill coming up in January that they're trying to get them to approve funding that would allow students to take freshman English at no cost while in high school and earn 3 credits. So in other words, the legislature of the state would pay for all our Kansas students to do that while in high school and earn 3 credits. And they're eventually trying to up that to 15 credits that the legislature would pay for while kids are in high school. So when they graduate from high school, they would have 15 college credits as they go off to college that are already earned and paid for, which I think we all would agree that 15 credits would basically be 1 semester paid for. So that's something I think for all parents and grandparents out there to be looking for. I think you're want to start with the 3 credits for an English class and up that to eventually to 15 paid credits that the legislature pays for. They're looking at around $5 million to do this, to start with the 3 hours of English credit. And how that will be paid for, I don't know. where it will be paid for out of the state budget, I'm not sure. Anytime you start paying more money out, something's got to give, or you bring in more revenue to do that. So I'm not sure on that.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see how that will evolve, but I think it's a great opportunity for kids to get to explore and maybe see what college life is really like. I know we've all had those opportunities with concurrent classes out there, and unfortunately, sometimes that creates a barrier for kids that can't afford to do that, but yet have the skill set to do it. So if they have this opportunity and find out maybe that's my niche, and it'll open that door for them, at least, you know, one semester sure helps.
It does. The other thing I wanted to bring up real quick, and I think it's a concern for Cliff and I and all superintendents in the state, is the issue of vaping, which we talked about a little bit last month. I just heard a couple of days ago we had our second death in Kansas from vaping. I think nationally there are many, many more deaths from vaping. I think we're finding out that it's not as safe as people thought it was. I think people are starting to put other things in their instrument that they use to vape from other than the what's supposed to be in it, and that's causing some issues. But I know we have some issues with vaping in our school, and I'm talking to other superintendents around the state. I think it's a real issue in some districts. I don't know about Riley County, but, you know, I think it's a concern for all of us, just not for school-age kids, but for everyone out there to keep an eye on.
I definitely would agree with you, Brady. I know we've put quite a bit of time into educating. I compliment our counselors and our administrators up at the high school level of trying to educate kids, and as well as sending things home to parents trying to educate them. It's a real concern, and, you know, if we could try to avoid that, and hopefully those kids don't choose that lifestyle, because there can be some serious consequences.
Yeah, well, it is it's an issue that we're watching, and I think we're just kind of touching the surface on it at this point. I think you're right. There would be more research done on this. Brady, I appreciate the time here, and Cliff as well. And hope you guys have a good October that's coming up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, stay tuned. We'll have more in focus next here on News Radio KMAN.